filial love.
And our focus over the next 20 minutes will be on Philadelphia love. Our question, given by Brother O.B., was, how does obeying the truth lead to purification of our lives? And how does it result in our ability to have unfeigned brotherly love for the brethren? Our assigned scripture, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, from the Diaglot. Having purified your lives by the obedience of the truth to unfeigned brotherly love. First, let's define words in our text. Number one, obedience. This means attentive hearkening or compliance. Our second word is purified. Strong's number 48, to make clean. Number three, unfeigned. This comes from Strong's number 505, which means sincere. And lastly, number four, is brotherly love. Strong's number 5360. The definition is fraternal affection and fond of the brethren. Now let's read the scripture with the definitions in place. Sound familiar, Brother Rick? Again, 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Having purified or made clean your lives by the obedience, the attentive hearkening of the truth to unfeigned, sincere, brotherly love, fond, fraternal affection. Now let's look at the context of 1 Peter 1. The apostle begins this letter with the following thoughts. 1 Peter 1, 2 through 5. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven even for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Here the Apostle Peter brings out, we have been chosen of God. We have been set apart for holy service. Be obedient to Jesus and have our hearts sprinkled with his blood. Glorify God because of his great mercy, a new and living hope, an inheritance kept in heaven, revealed in the last time, which is here and now. In 1 Peter 13, chapter 1, 13 and 16, Peter tells us to prepare our minds for action. Fix your hope completely on Jesus. Be obedient children. Be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Continuing with the context in 1 Peter, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And now our theme text. Having purified your lives by the obedience of the truth to unfeigned brotherly love. And following our theme text in verses 24 and 25, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling that withering in my life as I get older. Brethren, our lives now are temporary, and we wither and die, but our hope and our inheritance is eternal. Peter is telling us we need to live our lives today with an eternal mindset. Our first point in our question, what does obeying the truth look like? Several possibilities. One, following righteous principles found in God's word, a desire to be in harmony with God. Two, realizing how much of a sinner you are based on your newfound knowledge, desiring to be made right with God. Another way to obey the truth is giving your life over to God in consecration because of all Jesus has done for you. Four, be baptized in symbol as a witness of what has taken place in your heart. Five, after receiving God's Holy Spirit, obey the truth by looking for His will in prayer, studies, and His providential overrulings. Six, conforming to God's ecclesia arrangement with time, talents, and resources. An evidence of obeying the truth is testifying of God's will in our lives among the brotherhood. Witnessing together, eight, for God's plan of salvation for all. And nine, obeying the truth by partaking of the memorial which our Lord Jesus asked of us. So following Jesus' pattern and what he has taught us ultimately brings us to give praise, honor, and glory to our Heavenly Father who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'd like to share Brother Russell's thoughts on obeying the truth in reprint 1802. We receive a knowledge of the truth of God's will. Then it is for us to put it into practice, to weave it in our thoughts and our words and doings by feeding constantly on the word. And in reprint 1617, we do not inherit this godlike quality of love. It's only in obedience to the truth that we acquired this Philadelphia love, being purified thereby from the downward tendencies of our fallen nature, end quote. We've just given some suggestions on obeying the truth and what that looks like. Now let's look at how obedience leads to the purifying of our lives. In reprint 4766, Brother Russell states, purifying our lives is a thorough cleaning of the heart, the mind, the will, the actuating intentions or motives. When we presented ourselves in spirit, in truth, through faith, our sins were forgiven. We were accepted as new creatures and were started in a new career, end quote. You've heard the phrase, garbage in and garbage out. So spirituality in cleans out the garbage. Get the garbage out. When we immerse ourselves into spiritual development, it leads to reducing our fleshly thoughts and interests. Let's look at baptism as an example. We were dead to the old nature, we're alive to the new. How about Christ's robe of righteousness? As we pray for forgiveness daily, we keep our robes white and clean. That's purifying. One of my new favorite scriptures is Psalms 51, 6 through 10. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and a renewed, steadfast spirit within me. So, what's love got to do with it? Everything. How do we live this all-important type of unfeigned, sincere Philadelphia love? In reprint 4766, Russell states, unfeigned means genuine, without pretense, not merely professed, end quote. This type of love is fraternal affection, a fondness. It is the most common expression of love among mankind. Families have it, teams have it, soldiers have it, yes, even gangs have it. It is common to all. It's a give-and-take love, a protect-and-be-protected kind of love. It is expressed in the, I've got your back, sense of loyalty. There is a connection from a common goal or activity. We're in this together. This is a brotherhood mindset. There are six scriptures that use Philadelphia love in the New Testament. Three are from the Apostle Paul, and three are from the Apostle Peter. And I'd like to read those. The first, Romans 12, 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. The second, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Now as to the Philadelphia love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. The fourth scripture is our theme text, so we'll move to the next one. Number 5, 2 Peter 1, 7. In your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And 6, lastly, 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Now that we've learned how Philadelphia love is defined and described in the scriptures, how do we live and practice sincere, fond Philadelphia love for our brethren? How about through support during trials, entering into our brethren's lives, encouraging through words, by visits, cards, phone calls, service, and sacrifice? Jesus said it best, wash one another's feet. We need to remember in prayer the dear ones the Lord has given us. But when our brethren are going through trials and difficulties, do we just say, I'll pray for you, and walk away? Now, prayer is extremely important, but remember what James says in James 2, 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Brethren, when's the last time you prayed with, not for, one of your brethren? When's the last time you laughed or cried with them? When was the last time you held the hand of a dear one as they took their last breath? Have you ever sung hymns to encourage your ill or elderly brethren? I remember a time in our ecclesia when the class stood around Sister Josie's bed, my mother-in-law, and we sang hymns to her on one of the last nights that she was able to comprehend and interact with us a little. She joined in as best as she could with the hymns, and you could tell it lifted her spirits. She even threw a box of tissue at Sister Vicky Grillo because of the tears running down her face. That was Mom. It's a memory I will never forget, and it will stay in our hearts forever. Another way to live Philadelphia love is by supporting our brethren in fellowship, even if there are differences. Listening in confidence when asked. Show mercy, forgiveness, care, kindness, and patience. Come prepared for class studies to share. That's a way to show Philadelphia love by what you've learned to encourage the brethren. Philadelphia love, it's not a suggestion. Have you ever heard the phrase, I love them, but I don't have to like them? Really? God called them also. If we just tolerate someone that personally rubs us the wrong way, is that sincere love? It's not easy always, but it is expected to love sincerely. God does the choosing. We better find the good in others, or we're not living up to the standard of brotherly love. Brother Russell says, we should have a love for all who are brethren and are yoke fellows in the cause of righteousness and truth, the cause of God. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, Paul encouraged us with his words, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. How can we truly understand and help our brethren if we do not meet or fellowship with them and learn of their trials and their joys? Now, more than ever, we need each other. How valuable is unity and brotherhood and love for one another? For without it, Christianity would surely fail. Philadelphia love is vital. Brother Russell states in reprint 3948, the Greek word Philadelphia signifies brotherly love. And of course, it is always used in a good sense because the brethren of the Lord are all holy brethren. We are exhorted to develop this love for the brethren, Philadelphia, and that is given as a mark or indication that we are new creatures in Christ. Nevertheless, the apostle exhorts that we go beyond this degree of Philadelphia love